first-of-its-kind microchip research facility is now open on the University of Arkansas campus. The courts deliver shakeups for special elections and ballot canvassing, and it's officially sweater weather, and Arkansas's public television network is taking advantage. Those stories and more are coming up this week on the News Wrap from the Arkansas Newsroom. I'm Daniel Breen, News Director of Little Rock Public Radio. Each week, we're recapping the top stories from all across the natural state. We'll unpack the headlines, share exclusive insights, and provide the context you need to fully grasp the issues that matter most to Arkansans. That's this week on the Arkansas News Wrap, coming up right after the news from NPR. This is the Arkansas News Wrap. I'm Daniel Breen with Little Rock Public Radio. First up today, a tale of two court cases with broad implications for the upcoming midterm elections in Arkansas. Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders earlier this week agreed to move up the dates for two special elections. Two state legislative seats are currently vacant, and per law, the governor is tasked with scheduling elections to fill both seats. Sanders initially wanted the elections in November, which was the same day as the midterms, but later agreed to move the dates to June. Both communities, who'd be represented by the lawmakers, sued. They said June is still too late because that would mean they would be without representation when the General Assembly meets in April to set the state budget. Sanders is now complying with the two court orders to hold the elections in March. Sanders said she didn't agree with either judge, but hoped to keep appealing the case. Also in election news, a federal judge has blocked the state of Arkansas from enforcing several ballot canvassing laws. The state constitution allows citizens to put initiatives and referenda on ballots for voters, but it is a long process involving gathering tens, if not hundreds, of thousands of signatures. Earlier this year, the legislature passed a handful of bills making the process more difficult, things like requiring photo ID to sign a petition and informing potential petition signers that petition fraud is a crime. In a scathing 77-page verdict on Wednesday, U.S. District Judge Timothy Brooks prevented six of those new laws from being enforced, saying they were unconstitutional. The lawsuit was brought by several advocacy groups, including For Our Kids and the League of Women Voters, who said the laws violate their constitutional rights and effectively make the process impossible. Judge Brooks said the state did a poor job refuting their arguments. The state now is reviewing options for next steps. Last week, the University of Arkansas held a grand opening for a new research fabrication facility. As KUAF's Matthew Moore reports, the U of A is launching it in a bid to become a nationwide center for microchip research to help boost domestic production.
The National Multi-User Silicon Carbide Research Fab, affectionately called MUSIC, is a nearly 11,000-square-foot facility that will provide a space for manufacturing industries across the spectrum to work on prototyping, proofs of concept, and more early research work. Leaders from the energy, transportation, data centers, and aerospace sectors, as well as university staff and administrators and politicians from all levels, attended the ribbon-cutting ceremony just off Cato Springs Road in South Fayetteville. University Chancellor Charles Robinson says the work happening here is unique.
We're the only ones with this type of facility that is going to do this low-volume prototyping and research. We're the only one. And it's all right to be the only one, because we're going to do it well, we're going to do it right, and we're going to do it in a way that makes a difference for the state of Arkansas and for the United States of America. And I think there is no higher calling.
The prototyping Chancellor Robinson is talking about here is wide-ranging. Silicon carbide chips are critical to the next generation of all kinds of technology, from EVs and airplanes to data centers and green energy. Arkansas Attorney General Tim Griffin says research is key for a great civilization.
They must also have a diversified economy. And when you look over the state, what's going on here, the key is the open access. What does that mean? It's not exclusive to a particular company. If you want to use it, you can make that pitch, and that will allow for the growth of innovation.
Griffin says all of this research, economic growth, and innovation play an important role in national security.
If you're not secure and safe as a country, you don't have time to worry about all the rest. We must win. We must win this technological competition, this technological race. We must. It is absolutely essential to our national security and to our economic well-being.
Congressman Steve Womack served on the House Budget Committee for several years before moving to the Appropriations Committee. He recalls a conversation he once had with former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich about spending and budgeting at the federal level.
And he said, "We do have a problem with our balance sheet, but be careful, Steve, not to sacrifice the things that we will pay for that cannot be paid any other way that will provide a return on investment to this country." At the time, he spoke specifically of the National Institutes of Health. But the same theme was present over research like we're talking about here today. This facility is vital. Vital to our nation. Vital to our national security. Vital to our economic development. And we're in a fast-paced cavalry battle right now with near peers around the globe for research on these issues. It is essential we win that race.
Kim Needy is the dean of the College of Engineering at the University of Arkansas. She describes the building, as well as the work that will happen inside the building, as world class.
It's a one-of-a-kind research, teaching, and fabrication facility serving a bridge between university research and commercial production that will benefit educational institutions, businesses of all sizes, national laboratories, and our military. When the semiconductor industry looks for leadership in silicon carbide technology, they will look to the University of Arkansas. This distinction didn't happen by accident, but rather it's the result of the groundbreaking work done by our exceptional faculty, staff, and students.
Today's final speaker is Alan Mantooth, a distinguished professor of electrical engineering at the University of Arkansas and the driving force behind MUSIC. He thanks, among a few dozen people, Congressman Womack and U.S. Senator John Bozeman for their support at the federal level.
You know, when the CHIPS Act was passed, we were already in motion. One of the things that's been the earmark of this program for the last 20 years has been that it's been a step ahead. And that's what we built it on, is staying ahead. And we are in a foot race with others, other nations, and this is what's going to keep us ahead, is that attitude, that there needs to be a sense of urgency for the things that we do and the people that we work with.
Mantooth says he also spent time talking to legislative leaders at the state level to gain their support on this project.
I remember going down to talk to the legislative committee with Randy and telling them about the vision that we had at the time. And people asking, "So what can we do for you?" And I said, "Go talk to mom and dad in your district and tell them what's coming. Prepare those kids, because we're going to give them a second to none education right here, right here."
This facility has been a long time coming for Mantooth. He says the major power blackout in 2003 in the northeastern U.S. was a moment of clarity for him. It led him to launch the Power Group through the university. Mantooth says their research into power, electronics, and grid security is ranked second in the nation. And with the opening of this new facility, they are now the largest program in America.
So, of course, that comes with a big charge. What's the biggest program going to do for America? And so that's what this is about today. We're starting on a journey to do that.
He says the design of the building is meant to draw attention to what's happening inside the building.
We want kids to walk up to that window, take a QR code, because they all have a phone, and they can see what's happening inside that facility. That's what they'll be able to do. We're going to demystify what happens inside these facilities. They'll see what those guys in the bunny suits in there are really doing. But they'll also understand what kind of future it lays for them and how it secures the nation, how it provides great jobs. Whether they're college bound or not, doesn't matter. This is an industry that supports all.
Mantooth has lofty goals for the future of this program and this new facility. He says, at the end of the day, the number one thing they want to do is produce the best students possible.
I tell people that being a professor and the way we do it is sort of a calling, and we are just there to open the doors, but to open those doors in a way that the student is prepared to walk through them and be successful. And I tell my graduate students in that very first interview that they have with me, if when you leave here, you're happy with your degree and your next step in life, I've been successful. And that's my measure. We're going to produce more and better, every day.
You can find more details about the National Multi-Use Silicon Carbide Research Fabrication Facility at our website, KUAF.com.
That was KUAF's Matthew Moore reporting. Arkansas PBS and libraries across the state are partnering once again for the Mr. Rogers Neighborhood Sweater Drive. Marge Betley, CEO of the Arkansas PBS Foundation, spoke about it with KASU's Marty Scarborough.
Marge, welcome back to the program.
Thanks so much for having me, Marty.
Well, first of all, what exactly are you requesting from people from across the state as part of this sweater drive?
Well, we call it the sweater drive, of course, in honor of Fred Rogers, who was known for having fantastic sweaters always, which, by the way, were knitted by his mother given as gifts to the family every year. But we ask not just for sweaters, but new or gently used winter clothing items. So sweaters, scarves, mittens, coats, really whatever people have that they can share that will help keep our neighbors in need warm this winter.
Well, I'd like you to discuss a little bit further the legacy of Fred Rogers and how having a sweater drive associated with him continues the things for which he advocated for in his show and in his life.
It's a great question. I'm glad you asked that, because it really, you couldn't name this event after a more appropriate person. Mr. Rogers was all about sharing and being a good neighbor and being a helper. He talked a lot about, you know, when in trouble, look for the helpers. So we're looking to all of our views across the state to be those helpers this year.
Well, you've partnered with libraries across the state. What was the idea behind choosing to do that for this sweater drive?
A couple of reasons. One is that obviously Mr. Rogers is also very important in terms of early childhood education. That's a big focus of what public television is all about, is focusing on early childhood education and especially on literacy. And, you know, Mr. Rogers was a great storyteller. So again, this feels, and that, and also libraries are community centers. They are where we come together in for so many things, not just to go and get a book, but these days it might be where you go to, you know, use a computer to pick up a DVD, there to take a class. They really are our gathering places. So it just feels like a natural partnership to work with the libraries on this project.
So after the sweaters and other winter clothing items are collected at the libraries, how will they then be distributed to people who need them?
Again, our libraries are dynamite partners, because they are not just the ones serving as the gathering space for these donations. They are actually working with partners inside of their communities to determine where best to take those contributions. And we rely on our libraries to tell us that, because they know their community in a way that, you know, we here in Conway may not know who in Jonesboro, who in Craighead County is really going to be the best and most effective recipient for those contributions. So sometimes they are taking them to a, you know, they may take them to a food bank. They may take them to a community center. They may take them to a faith-based organization. And in some cases, we're finding that the libraries themselves may actually have a public clothing closet, similar to a food pantry, where, you know, people can come in and take what they need. And, you know, we are delighted for the libraries to really take that active role in deciding how best to make use of those contributions.
Oh, that's a great way to organize this event. And you have dozens of libraries across the state that are participating. Where can someone go to find out if their local library is taking part in the Mr. Rogers Neighborhood Sweater Drive?
They can go to the website, to the Arkansas PBS website, so myarkansaspbs.org, and they will find a current listing of the participating libraries. But I will also say, you know, occasionally we find out that a library is participating in the sweater drive and they might not have told us. That happens. We're okay with that too, as long as the contributions are getting where they need to be. So it never hurts to call your local library and check in with them and say, hey, are you participating in this? And if not, then maybe it will encourage them to be a part of it next year.
I noticed that you have a supporting statewide sponsor in Walmart. Could you talk a little bit about them and their contributions to this year's effort?
They've supported us for the last couple of years. They are a somewhat smaller contributor this year, but their contributions, frankly, it helps us with getting signage out there, with getting the promotional materials out there. I do also want to say, because it might not have made it into the information that came to you, we also have an individual contributor this year who has made a larger gift, a sponsorship gift to the sweater drive in honor of Sue Fruoff. And that's atypical for us. We don't always have an individual contributor who does that. So I definitely want to give a shout out to the Fruoff family members who made that contribution in honor of Sue Fruoff. But really that funding helps us to get materials out to the libraries, whether it's the donation boxes or posters and flyers. It helps us to promote on social media. And it's, you know, it just helps us get the word out for the event.
Well, we began our conversation by me acknowledging you that you are the chief executive officer for the Arkansas PBS Foundation. Finally, how can listeners learn more about the foundation and its work and initiatives that it supports throughout the year?
Thank you for asking that. So if you go to the network's website, myarkansaspbs.org, there's actually a tab on that homepage that says support. And if you click on that, that takes you to the foundation's website. And there you can find out various ways to contribute. It's also a place where people who may be interested in volunteering can sign up to volunteer. And, you know, most of our volunteer opportunities are in Central Arkansas, where our offices and studios are located, but not all of them. We were up in Northeast last year at the Loose Caboose Festival, and we had some costume characters there with us. So we often do have opportunities around the state in different ways. So that's also a way that people can get involved. And we are happy for however people want to connect with us. Our mission really is to support the mission of Arkansas PBS, and that's financial contributions, but it's also in ways like having the Mr. Rogers Neighborhood Sweater Drive, in having our Family Day events, and in participating in events like the Loose Caboose Festival that take place in other parts of the state.
Marge Bentley is the chief executive officer of the Arkansas PBS Foundation, which is coordinating this year's Mr. Rogers Neighborhood Sweater Drive. Of course, sweaters and other winter clothing are being accepted as donations at libraries throughout the natural state, which will then be distributed into those communities by those libraries. And again, Arkansas PBS coordinating this effort. We wish you the best, and we hope that many, many people contribute and make this another huge success for you.
Thank you so much, Marty, and we appreciate everything that you do to support our work. Thank you.
That was Marge Bentley, CEO of the Arkansas PBS Foundation, speaking with KASU's Marty Scarborough. The Mr. Rogers Neighborhood Sweater Drive runs through the end of the month. More information is online at myarkansaspbs.org. And that's it for this week. The Arkansas News Wrap is brought to you by the Arkansas Newsroom, a collaboration between KUAF in Fayetteville, KASU in Jonesboro, and Little Rock Public Radio. You can find this week's episode on any of our station's websites. Until next time, I'm Daniel Breen, and this is the Arkansas News Wrap.